Father. Amen.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So, during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash your feet, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he is clean all over. So you are clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." The Gospel of the Lord. I have never given a title to a homily. But if this one's going to have a title, it's going to be, "Because I Said So." Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't make me feel comfortable, because the only time I heard that was from my mom and dad when I asked why. And the answer they gave was, "Because I said so," because they knew that that was the right answer. That was what was good for me. In a nutshell, I'll say these readings are doing the same thing, always pushing us toward the future, toward something that is good for us. They give us a story or a message that we're supposed to pass on. We may not understand it in the moment, but future generations are going to comprehend it more completely. In the reading from Exodus, we hear that the Lord is telling Moses and Aaron to set one day aside in a specific month and set that month up as the head of their calendar. Find yourself a year-old lamb without blemish, and after you slaughter it, take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts. Now, the blood on the doorposts is how the angel of death will know to pass over that house. And when you eat the roasted flesh, eat it like those who are in flight. Eat the flesh with loins girt, sandals on the feet, and a staff in the hand to remember the rush that the people were in when they left Egypt. All these instructions were given while they were still in Egypt. They call that the Passover feast. All of it was for them to be reminded of their exodus from Egypt. But it was also given to them so that they would continue to remember it in the future. Did they understand all the instructions that were given to them at that time? I doubt it. Did it come to make a little more sense when they indeed had left Egypt? More than likely. But the bottom line is that they did it because the Lord told them to do it. The gospel is the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, right? That's certainly the story we hear and what it appears to be on the surface. But notice the words at the beginning of the gospel. He loved his own in the world and he loved them to the end. Remember those words. Jesus and his disciples are celebrating the Passover meal. Jesus is fully aware that his hour has come, that he's going to pass from this world to the Father. He even knows who it is that's going to betray him. So he gets up from the meal and washes his disciples' feet. But he doesn't leave it at that. He makes sure, in his own way, that they know what it is he has done. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do. The lesson, the task, isn't simply washing someone's feet. For us to understand what Jesus is telling them, we have to know who Jesus is. Jesus is God of the universe, creator of all, eternal Son of God, second person of the most holy Trinity. And yet Jesus takes on the lowly form of a slave by washing his disciples' feet. He has given them a model of humility, of holiness. And in the moment, Peter didn't understand what the washing of the feet was all about. He thought it was just about being clean on the outside. That's why Jesus and Peter have to have a little discussion. Jesus had to set Peter straight. It's even safe to say that Jesus washed Judas's feet. The lesson then for us to learn and for us to put into practice is that each of us must become instruments of Christ's act for others. We've got to give everything to others just as Jesus has given everything to us without counting the cost. That's the love of a servant. When we consider that Jesus knew who was going to betray him, and we match that up against he loved his own in the world and he loved them to the end, we realize that we can't love in the way the world does. Love, as the world sees it, expects something in return. Now certainly, we make decisions about who our friends are going to be in the world. We fully intend that it's going to be easy to love them. After all, we chose them, right? But some will disappoint us. We've got to find ways to love them to the end. Being of service to them is absolutely one way. It worked for Jesus. It was the model he gave us. It's what he told us to do. So again, we should do it because the Lord said so. In Corinthians, Paul is telling them what it was that the Lord, what he had received from the Lord, he is giving to the Corinthians. It's a message. The actual words of Jesus. A message that obviously is supposed to be passed on. And we recognize those words as the one that a priest says when he elevates the bread and the chalice. We understand that they have become the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. For some, though, those are stumbling blocks, and they left. Why did some believe his words and others didn't? For the same reason they didn't accept his other words, or actions, or miracles, or healings. But why do we believe it today? We believe it because Christ said so. In those exact words, "This is my body, this is my blood." It's something that the church, through her priests, have continued to pass on. And what they're passing on is the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. He is really and truly present in the Eucharist. It's God that comes to each and every one of us in the communion. He's just as present now as he was on those dusty streets in Jerusalem. or the upper room, or on the cross. Christ is risen. Not something left in the past. It's present tense reality. What we believe what Christ says about the Eucharist in exactly the same way that the Jews believe what the Lord told them about the Passover. Do we understand everything? It's hard. Our eyes see bread and wine. But think of it as a test to elicit our faith. And yet, like the early Jews, we continue to pass it on. For the same reason that the Jews tell the story over and over about the Passover. Because our God said so.